Okay, we're going to get into our subject of the day, which this is our second week on spiritual gifts. So would you stand up as we read our passage for today, everybody? We're going to be in Romans 12. And just so that it's easy to keep in mind, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 are where we find our primary passages about spiritual gifts. So I'm going to read this out loud, but follow along. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And the next slide. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Amen. You can be seated. So we jumped into a series that we're calling Shape. And the whole idea of this is to help each of us understand how God has shaped us, how he has created us. And Isaiah says that we're shaped for his glory, and we're shaped and molded to praise him. So the whole idea is, as we understand who we are, we can better glorify God, right? Not just serve each other, but also really glorify him. So SHAPE stands for, it's an acrostic, and so it's spiritual gifts and then heart, which is kind of your passions and your abilities, and then personality and experiences. So that kind of makes up who you are as a human being. And so I hope that this last week, because we did last week on spiritual gifts, kind of the big picture. How many of you spent a little time this last week reading or studying or doing a test on spiritual gifts? Some of you did? Okay, so you still have time. So next week we will give you a handout that you can begin writing these things down. And so, there are a couple ways you can figure out your spiritual gifts. One is read the passages, and some of these words you'll just feel drawn to, like that's something that God does in my life, I know it. Another thing you can do is have a discussion in your Mosaic group. Some of you will be doing that this week, or with your family members or good friends, and say, how do you see my gifts? How do you see my spiritual gifts? And see what they say. Sometimes they know better than you do. And then the third way is take a spiritual gifts test or an assessment online, and that can give you some ideas. What's interesting, though, is with those assessments, a lot of times it shows your experience, how God has already used you, but not necessarily what he's going to do in the future, or a tendency that you have that's, you know, brand new. So anyway, a couple ways to get after it. So today we're going to talk about very specific gifts. So before we get into it, though, I wanted to interview a couple of people and find out how they are discovering their gifts and kind of how it's showing up in their lives. So I want to have Leslie and Jen and Bo come on up. So would you clap for them as they come up here? I'm thankful that we have a church with some strong women in their gifts. Amen? Okay, right on. So Leslie, how about if we start with you? Come on over. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Well, I'm good.
Good.
So we had a couple of texts back and forth, and God's been developing especially one particular spiritual gift lately, right? What's that one?
Yeah, faith.
And what's he doing?
I don't know, totally, if I'm honest. I just am seeing a lot of opportunities to practice faith. And I'm seeing them a lot in myself, but I also can see it in other people, in my Mosaic group, for example. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about an incident. It reminded me, when you were talking about Mike and Vanessa, that one time in prayer, I was praying, and I had this knowing about a baby before I knew there was a baby.
Wow.
And then Mike and Vanessa went through the whole situation with the ectopic pregnancy, and then they told us what was going on. And I said, wow, because, you know. God put the puzzle together. Yeah. So, and that was God saying to me, yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. So God's developing your faith. Why? What's he want to do with it?
I really feel like God gives us the gift of faith for encouraging other people. Mm-hmm. Like I see that in, you know, people will share what their struggle is, and I can see God in it. Mm-hmm. So I'll say, wait a minute, maybe that struggle God's mm-hmm. using mm-hmm. for his glory, and mm-hmm. maybe he is shaping you for something.
Love
that's
that.
Coming up.
So a person with a gift of faith has perspective that maybe someone else would not have because you see the big picture, right?
Yeah, love I would it. Say that, yeah.
Thanks, Leslie.
You bet, yeah.
Good. You can come
yeah.
over here.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Come on over, Bo. Look, you got a good cheer. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. How you doing, Bo?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. Yay. So tell them how God's developing or showing you your gifts right now.
Well, there's a lot of them. The spiritual gifts test was really interesting, but faith was one mm-hmm. of the top ones for me also. And I just know he's really growing me and stretching me, and it's so fun in what I do sometimes in my work that I end up with some really difficult moral dilemmas in some gray areas. Mm. And I really have clung to Psalm 16:7 that says that in, I like the Message version of it, that he confirms the counsel of to us in our sleep. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I go to sleep and I've given this problem to the Lord and I wake up and I have these amazing divine revelations to know how to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. And so I just see that as God growing my faith in him.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
love it. Thank God for Bo. Okay, Jen, come on over. How you doing, Jen?
I'm good.
Good to see you. So what's God been doing with you with your gifts?
I've been going through a little season where I spent years kind of discovering gifts and really what I thought, my interpretation was, really using my gifts, because that's what I... When I received them, I thought, well, I do this with it. That's what this is going to look like. And then about a year and a half ago, all the this exited my life all in the same month. Then I was like, okay, so what do I do now? How do I use my gift? Who am I? And so the Lord's been teaching me that his gifts are for all the time and in all situations. And he gets to determine what that looks like and how it goes out. And so I'm rediscovering different perspectives of how his gifts to me are being used.
Wow.
So.
Love it. So how would you encourage everybody out here as they're just getting into, some people, this whole idea of spiritual gifts is brand new. What would you say to them? How do they get off on the right foot?
I would first say that spiritual gifts is God's absolutely overwhelming, tangible love for you. And so operating in that gift is really you going, yes, Lord, I receive what you have for me. And it can be whatever gift, all the time, some of the time, one time. And please use it. Because I was just with a group of friends the other day, and they were praying, and we were talking, and they're like, no, you don't understand, Jen. We need for you to do what God's asked you to do, what he's empowered you to do. Because until, like, you move in that, these things can't happen. And I was like, oh, right, okay. So please, it's not scary. It's really God's love for you. So please just go for it.
Right on. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, ladies. Woo, woo, woo. Isn't that fun when spiritual gifts are not theory? It's real life. So I wanted to set a little bit of a context for us today as we talk about spiritual gifts. And these ladies already talked about it a little bit. But one big important piece is the Holy Spirit has all of the gifts, right? So a believer has the Holy Spirit, not little pieces of the Holy Spirit or part. You know, you don't have the left half of the Holy Spirit. That would be a little weird. If you have the Holy Spirit, the Lord can do whatever he wants, as long as you allow him to have free reign and do what he wants, right? That's scary for some of us because we're like, wait a minute. I just gave up some control. Yeah, that's right, right? And part of being a follower of Jesus is giving up some of our rights. You might say all of your rights, right? And so if you have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit has all the gifts, guess what? Certain things can happen in your life once. Certain things can happen twice. Certain things can happen every hour. And we need to learn what are those things and how does that work? Because it shouldn't be something that we're afraid of and intimidated by and that gives us the heebie-jeebies. As Jen said, her friends brought her this truth. If you're not who you are, it hurts the rest of us. If you're not, you know, ministering and serving in the gifts that God's given you, then it holds back the whole. So I've also found over time that not in addition to people misunderstanding or not going after the gifts, some people don't know what they are. And I've heard people tell me that they have the spiritual gift of cooking or they have the spiritual gift of talking to someone. And those are not spiritual gifts. Those are ways that spiritual gifts show up. If you have an ability of cooking, God can use a spiritual gift of helps or service or encouragement through your cooking. It doesn't mean cooking is bad. Cooking is, I like cooking, right? I like you who cook because you bless me with your cooking. But that's not a spiritual gift, okay? So it's important to understand what the gifts are, how they work, how you can develop them, because it's part of who you are. And let me give you three reasons why that's important. One is this. Often you will find out God's will for your life by understanding your gifts. So a lot of times we're praying, God, would you show me your will for my life? But we're not taking some steps that he's already given us. We're not taking that step to use a gift of teaching or service or encouragement. And through taking those steps, you're going to figure out some aspects of what God wants to do with the rest of your life. Another thing is that he can use your gift to bless the other parts of the body in a unique way that I can't do. Jonathan, you can do stuff for our church that I can't do. Does that mean that I'm weak or limited? Or yeah, probably. Does it mean that he's really strong? Well, probably. But that's not the point. The point is, he's a different part of the body than I am, right? And Baron's a different part of the body than I am. And so each part of the body does its job. And what happens in your body when one part's not doing its job? You go to the hospital, right? Because something ain't happening. And then you want to find out from the doctor, what ain't happening? Because I don't feel right. And the doctor says, oh, well, your such and such is not working well, and so we need to treat that. So that's a metaphor that God gave us right here for our whole body. The parts work together, and that makes us strong. We can't be healthy unless each of us does our part. The last thing is this, and this is kind of scary, but the parable of the talents, you know that one where the master gave, you know, certain amount of money, talents, to different people? That's not about money. That's about who you are. It's about stewarding the gifts that God has given you. So in the parable of the talents, the master went away on a trip and he entrusted three servants with talents, okay? Which really means all of their gifts, everything that he entrusted them with. Two of them invested it and it returned. The other guy did not invest it. He buried it in the ground and he made excuses. And then the Lord came back, the master came back and said, you wicked, lazy servant, what were you thinking? I gave you this. You were supposed to use it. And then it says he was cast outside where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. What? The guy was not faithful with his gifts, and he didn't go to the good place. Now, I'm not going to take that and make a whole sermon out of it, but Jesus gave a scary message about not using what you have been given because it's a gift of his Spirit. It's a supernatural thing. It's not just he gave you $5, you better be faithful with it. It's he gave you five gifts, you better be faithful with it, right? Okay. So, this is interesting too. Jen referred to it. Each gift is given as a blessing from the Lord. The word is grace. And right after the 1 Corinthians 12 passage, right after the Romans 12 passage, the very next verse is love. So 1 Corinthians 12 ends with the last verse of the chapter, "Now I will show you the most excellent way." After he talked for a whole chapter about gifts, and it's love. 1 Corinthians 13. Now the other one in Romans 12, the very next verse is love must be sincere. So gifts, 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 love. So love gives the context and the power for our gifts, and we can't see them as unimportant because they're the way that God is showing his love to you and through you to others. Okay, now let's look at a bunch of gifts, and I was hesitant to do this because it's literally like a laundry list of all these gifts in Scripture. And here's the funny thing. Different denominations have different lists. I don't know if you've noticed this. So if you go online and you research, I'm going to take five different spiritual gifts tests, they will all have a different number of gifts. And it's interesting, based on their theology, they may have 27 gifts or they may be as small as 9. So anyway, bear with that. But what we're going to do is have some fun, go through each of the gifts that the passages that we're dealing with spell out clearly. We won't have gifts like artisan, because that's an Old Testament thing that does show up. There's another gift that shows up on some of them, deliverance or exorcism. We won't talk about that because it's not in these lists. But anyway, it's interesting how many, you know, the freeway is wide with many, many different gifts possible. So let's go through a bunch of these gifts with a little explanation. So let's have fun. You know what? One more thing I need to say. I want to ask you to be loving and honest and open. If I say something that you don't agree with, let's talk about it. Or ask the Lord about it, and then let's talk about it. We all grew up in different denominations, and some of you grew up in a denomination where they said a lot of this is hooey. And some of you grew up in a denomination where you hated people who said a lot of this is hooey. That's not right. So we need to come back to Scripture. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do through me? Okay, first one I'm going to grab is the gift of prophecy. So one way that I've always remembered this is forth-telling God's truth or foretelling God's truth. If you were to boil it down to just a couple of words, the prophet is somebody that communicates God's truth in a pretty unique way, a pretty timely way. It's a little different than the teacher, because the prophet says, here's the thing that matters to the body or to this person's life or to this family right now in time. God is saying this to you. Now, in the Old Testament, the prophet was kind of the one in charge of the spiritual life of the nation. That's not how it worked in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the apostles took on that role. The prophets were kind of subservient to that. So in the Old Testament, the guy said, thus saith the Lord, and it became scripture, like Isaiah, Ezekiel, boom, right? And the New Testament is not like that. So in the Old Testament, the prophet's wrong, you can stone him. You can just kill him in church on the spot. In the New Testament, if you do that, you go to jail. We don't do that anymore. Paul said, if a prophet says something, you test it. Test it against scripture, make sure they're right. And if you follow some of the more prophetic movements, there are times when they have to literally call out the guy who said something or the gal who said something incorrectly, and they have to publicly say, hey, you know that thing I said? That wasn't right. I'm sorry I misheard the Lord. Now, here's what happens in a lot of movements. They just throw out the whole gift. Well, so-and-so blew it, so we're not going to use that gift anymore. Right? Have you ever made a mistake, anybody? Only 5 of you rose your hand? So mistakes can happen with gifts, right? There are things that I have been up here teaching, and there are times when I've said something, and then later I've said, you know, I need to clarify that. I don't know if that was really accurate, but you didn't stone me for doing that, right? Thankfully. And so there needs to be this humility and this growing in our gifts. Now, something that I didn't say last week I had power tools up here. Do you remember that? So one thing that's really important with gifts is not just opening the box and empowering the tools and watching the YouTube video so that you know how to use your gifts, right? Apprenticeship is important. So let's say that God has given you this gift and you start seeing like, hey, I have this prophetic idea. I have this idea of the Lord wants to do something in Dan's life and I just know it. I got to tell him. So what if you come alongside somebody who also has that gift and say, would you teach me how this all works? Then you're not going to do damage because you're going to be understanding, right? In life, apprenticeship is important. In your mosaic groups, you're also developing and learning how these gifts work. Okay, a couple of examples in our body. One is I live with one. So Stacy has the gift of prophecy, which isn't always fun. And so she usually knows what's going on, and she instructs me in what's going on, and then I have to say, like, wow, okay, honey, thanks. And sometimes it comes with an edge, and sometimes it comes with sweetness. Usually it's both, which is interesting. I think Joel is another example. Joel Kilpatrick, who sometimes helps me tie up a prayer time in the services, a gentle gift of prophecy. So he senses, what's the Lord want to say right now? And he shares it. All right, next one is serving. And the Greek word is deacon, which means waiting on tables. This is someone who loves to help people in practical ways. And some of you, Lori Dingman is one of those. You love to help others. Now, here's a powerful aspect of the gift of service. Often, a person with a really pronounced gift of service, their part of their God-given goal is releasing others in their gifts. So they understand, if I do my part, that helps Michael and Betty, and it helps Kimberly to go do their thing. You know who's powerful in that is Dave Kappen. Dave Kappen loves for you to use your gift. He will do whatever it takes to equip you to do your thing. That is a powerful thing. Teaching is the next one, and that is the ability to share God's word and its meaning and its application. Now, what happens in our culture is we think teaching is like the seminary professor or the college professor, and a lot of pastors and teachers in ministries, they just teach God's word, but they don't tell you what to do with it. It's not living and active. It's not changing your life. They're not saying, here's how it fits in our culture and in your context and in your community. Here's what you do. So the real gift of teaching in Scripture takes that on. And James 1, though, warns, it says, not many of you should become teachers because you know that you will be judged with greater strictness. So if you open up your mouth in front of others, be careful because you're going to be held to account for that, and I am. Now, also, many teachers feel like, hey, I have a gift of teaching. How come Kirk's up there and I'm not? Really? Like, I'm ready. Now, there are many ways to use a gift of teaching, and some of the most effective teachers I've ever seen have been one-on-one. Or small group, or teaching in their own extended family, leading and teaching by example, right? So a couple of teachers that we have, Rick McMichael, pretty obvious, and Annie Barber, TC. We've got a bunch of teachers in our body, which is really cool to see. Okay, next one is encouragement, and this is also the same word as exhortation. And those might seem like opposites, right? Encouragement, that's the person I want to be with. Exhortation, that's not the person I want to be with, right? But these are two sides of the same coin, and sometimes based on someone's personality, it floats one way or the other. But when you're going through a hard time, you want the encourager with you, right? And this person can build you up with God's truth and hope. And I feel like the two flip sides are one is going to encourage you and build you up. The other one is going to challenge you and call you out. Now, Ken Kappen has both of them. I don't know if you've spent much time with him, but he can encourage you and he can also call you right out. And so some of you, you know, you lean one way or the other, but I think that's a beautiful gift that we need more of. I had a picture in my mind, and I don't know who this is for, but some of you feel like your gifts must happen on Sunday mornings. And so let me give you a picture of it not being like that. So, let's say that you have kids who play soccer, and they say, okay, who's going to be our team parent? Now, when that happens, everybody kind of hides their faces and doesn't make eye contact with the coach. But let's say that you have been given the spiritual gift of encouragement, and you say, maybe this is my chance to use that. What if you became the best team parent, and you were encouraging all the parents, and you were giving rides to their kids, and you were investing in all those people that God's put right in front of you, and you offered your house for the team meeting. There are powerful ways that you can encourage others that have nothing to do with these blue chairs on Sunday morning. And so just use that as a picture to motivate you to think about how can your gifts be used out there? Because gifts are not for 1.5 hours on Sunday. They're for 24/7, always, in your home, in your neighborhood, at your work, at your school, always. The gifts are with you. Okay, no one said amen. That's really frustrating.
Amen.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so the next one is giving. Some of you live to share. It floats your boat. When you get to give away money or time or resources or some skill that you have, it's like, woohoo! And some of you are afraid to give. This is not you. The spiritual gift of giving is like, wow, do I love to use whatever God's given me, and I love to give it away, and that makes me stoked. Now, some of these people really like it to be sneaky. So some of these people love to give anonymous gifts to someone that they will never know who it's from, and that makes them so happy to do that, to blow someone's mind. So, and I'm not going to mention who you are. A couple of you are in this room because the givers don't like to be recognized. So that's part of the spiritual gift of giving also, is you're kind of back here just supporting ministry and supporting families and supporting needs, and it's part of who you are. So thank you, givers. We love you guys. Okay, the next one is leadership, and that word literally means to guide, and it carries with it the idea of steering a ship, and this is related to the gift of pastor, and so the leader is somebody that leads not just by positional leadership, but spiritual leadership, and by example, and by sowing into the body, and this person cares for people in the body, they direct people in the body, they protect people in the body. So the spiritual gift of leadership, you'll see it in our leadership council. So our elders here have the spiritual gift of leadership. That was one of their qualifications before we chose them. So I don't know if you know who they are, but a couple of them are here. But Jeremy is on our council, and Cheryl McMichael is on our council, Shirley Miller. And then we also have Mike Katzenberger, who just had the baby. And then we have John Barber, who leads worship on Sunday mornings often, and Ben Rhodes. And did I miss anybody? I think that's everybody. So all of those people have a spiritual gift of leadership, but you'll notice that they're not just business leaders who get it done. They're people who have a burden and a passion for leading the body, and they're also kind and loving. Like, I didn't want anybody on our council that I wouldn't want visiting me in the hospital, right? Think about who, there are certain people you want visiting you if you get sick, and there's certain people you're like, keep them away. I didn't want to keep them away, people leading our church, right? Although that happens in some churches, that you get an elder board of people that are just a pain in the rear end, and you can't get anything done. Did we record that? Okay, let's go next. So mercy. We all know what mercy is. Mercy is the ability to put on somebody else's shoes and come alongside them in their time of need. And I feel like Joyce, you're an obvious example of this. And Dolly Ray, I feel like you have a gift of mercy. And Wendy Kappen, I feel like pretty obvious gift of mercy in all of you. It's pretty beautiful to see it. Next one is word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom, if you have this, you know the right course of action beyond what's obvious on the surface. So you know if Garrett has a challenge that he's facing, you know what he should do for an individual or for a group. And God has given you wisdom, not because you're smart, not because you went to school, not because you're good at evaluating things. You just have a hunch. You're like, oh, I know. The church should do this. We should do that. Or Garrett needs to do this next step in his life. And in love, it's like you're paying attention to somebody else's situation and you're praying into their situation so that you can help them make the right choice. It's not just, I'm so smart, come see me up on the mountain, I'm the sage. It's more like, I love you and I want to be involved. How can I help? And you want my input? Okay, the next one is word of knowledge. This one is really intriguing to me. So the word of knowledge is God shows you something about somebody's life that you wouldn't normally know. Often this one is linked with a gift of evangelism or faith. So sometimes this person will see a guy at Starbucks and walk up to him and say, so the Lord showed me you're going through a divorce, and I need to pray for you and encourage you. And the person just jaw drops and look at you like, what? Because you just read their mail. Some people don't believe that this gift is in existence anymore. I want to tell you it is. I've seen it. So this gift happens all the time in some of your lives, and it is a little freaky because it is downright supernatural, and there's stuff you know that you wouldn't know unless the Lord empowered you. Now, here's the funny part about the gift of knowledge. Sometimes the Lord shows you something that you're not supposed to say. And then you have to have the wisdom and the discernment to say, what do I do with that? So God could show me something about somebody else's life, and it could be something devastating that has happened to them. And it's not my job to walk up to them at Starbucks and go, bleh. It's my job to say, Lord, what's your intention? Why'd you show me that? I've had a few times when the Lord has shown me something about somebody's life, and I'm just supposed to pray. I'm supposed to encourage them, say hi, say, how are you doing? I had that happen. I was walking in the hospital visiting somebody, and I walked past this guy that looked terrible out in the hallway. And I just had this sense of like darkness and despair and hopelessness. And I was like, whoa. So I went over to him and I said, like, are you all right? And he goes, yeah, I'm fine. And I was like, no, you're not. I didn't tell him that. But inside, I'm like, you are not fine. So I walked around the corner and I'm like, God, do you want me to call him out and tell him, like, dude, you're not fine? And I just felt like I just needed to love him and pray for him. And so I just stood in the hallway for like the next 10 minutes and just prayed for him in this situation, whatever's going on. For some reason, the Lord just showed me he's not okay. Right? So, A, if he's giving you this gift, you know, be open to him showing you. B, know what to do with it. Get somebody to apprentice you. Spend some time with somebody that knows now what to do. I think Tim Gray would be a good choice that I would choose to know how am I going to use this? What am I going to do next? Christina, I've seen you do this a few times where just you know what's happening in somebody's life. It's clear. Okay, next one, faith. All believers have faith, but this one is bigger. You heard a couple of faith stories when I interviewed the ladies before. This faith is contagious. This faith is a confidence in God, his word, his miracles, his power, his promises that like is unshakable. Like it doesn't matter what's happening around me. I know what he's going to do. And then I'm able to share that, like you said, Leslie, with others. If somebody's going through a hard time, I'm like, well, so am I. But God's bigger than all that. And so the gift of faith is like this wave that people can ride. They can ride your gift of faith, which I think is really fun. Okay, healing. Now, some of you took a test in the spiritualgiftstest.com that I gave you last week. So some of their definitions are not correct. I'll just say it. It's hard to find a gifts test that is balanced because they're all over the map. Some of them are just like, so super out there with, you know, adding a bunch of gifts, and some of them are so super conservative that they are afraid of everything. It's hard to find one that's in the middle. So I want to talk about cessationism. Have you ever heard this before? Not sensationalism, but cessationism. So what this means is that the gifts ceased, and not meaning all the gifts, power gifts. So this person who believes in cessation, which is actually a lot of denominations in the U.S. and a lot of pretty prominent leaders in evangelical Christianity, would say at the end of the apostolic age, which you have to define, miracles and healings and tongues and prophecy, that one's a little, you know, debated, those all stopped. So we don't have them anymore. So, and what's funny, though, is some of those teachers would say, well, every so often it shows up, but that's not the norm. But most of them would say it stopped. Now, the hard part with this teaching is that it means what I'm talking about right now is not correct. Okay, so I should just shut up. But the hard part about this is it makes our faith pretty not supernatural. It makes it a little more in a box, a little more religious, a little more afraid. And it's hard to defend it scripturally because when Paul talked to the Corinthian church and the Roman church, those were not apostles. He was saying, these are the gifts that you need to steward and use. And the gifts went on beyond the death of some of those apostles. In fact, in the early church, about half of the early church leaders up to like 300, 400, 500, 600 AD talked about gifts. and about half of them didn't. So you have a split that happened like right after the first century, where some of them pursued gifts and saw them, and some of them were afraid or thought they ended and they did not see them. It's almost like an argument based on experience. If I'm seeing the gifts, I believe in them. If I'm not seeing them, I don't, which is really fascinating. So a lot of it stems from a conversation around 1 Corinthians 13 in the love chapter. It says, now there are tongues and they will cease. Now there are prophecies and those will cease when perfection comes. So some leaders have said, well, perfection obviously means when Scripture is finished. When the canonization of the Bible happened, then the gifts ceased, which is like 200 AD, okay? But then I believe, and many other leaders believe, when perfection comes means heaven. It means we're not going to need the gifts anymore because we're face-to-face with the Lord. And so we're going to have Him. I no longer need to edify you and you because, man, He is building into us. I'm face-to-face with my Lord. So that's really what I believe the whole, and that's called continuation. So I believe strongly in continuation of the gifts. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm a crazy, charismatic, wild person. But what it means is that I am open to the gifts, excited about the gifts. I know the Lord wants to do more, and He wants us to not be afraid. He wants us to embrace what He has for us. And I feel like some of the people that are cessationist in their thinking have been afraid of abuse because they've seen it. They've seen some churches and some groups just go nuts, and they've said, I'm not doing that. And so they have literally thrown the baby out with the bathwater out of fear and out of just being pragmatic. It's easier to not go there. Yes, it's easier, but it's not what the Bible talks about. It's not how we're going to accomplish the goal of reaching our community and changing our world. Okay? You guys are looking at me. No one said amen again? Okay. Okay, let's go back to the gifts. So, healing. All believers can pray for healing in somebody's life. All of you can. Does that mean it always happens? No. That's part of this weird dynamic where we are not yet in heaven and we are stuck here on earth. We have heavenly gifts, but there are times when God does not answer the prayer of healing the way He wants to. And this is a strange one because for all of us, I know many of you have prayed for healing and you have not seen something happen. I know many of you have prayed for healing and you've seen miraculous things happen. Some of you have the spiritual gift of healing, or that happens in your life a lot more. So you have a whole bunch more experience and a whole bunch more opportunities that God gives you. Now, I have seen in my own life some people healed and some people not. And I've been like, Lord, really? And here's a little bit of perspective on that. Actually, Stacy and I did a teaching 2 years ago about when God does not heal. And that's hard to watch and be part of. But that's part of the life that we live. And here's a little perspective. This could be another 30 minutes, but I'm going to give it one. So sometimes God is much more concerned with the spiritual healing than physical. Healing someone's physical, their body, is not as high of a priority for Him because it's not making them perfect in His sight. Okay? The other thing that God does sometimes that I've noticed is He is more about healing a generation, healing a church, healing a family system, healing a city, than He is about Shirley's physical well-being right now. He has much bigger goals in mind than just getting me out of my physical difficulty. But my physical difficulty is right in front of me right now, and that's the only thing I think about. So pray for healing. John Wimber said this when he had a couple people coming up to him and saying, hey, it's not working. He said, after you've prayed for 1,000 people, come talk to me. I feel like that's great advice. We're to continue, because the Bible says it, praying for people. And as we continue praying, we will see results, but not all the time. If everyone was healed all the time, no one would ever die. We would never go to be with the Lord, right? Okay. And when Jesus was on earth, the people that He healed, you know what happened to them later? They died. Right? So this is a temporary fix. We fixate on it. We think it's a really, really, really big deal. And it is to a certain extent, but the Lord is up to something much greater. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay. In fact, I kept track of 18 miracles so far in our church in 2017. So One of them was baby Joseph. So, and another one was Miriam's healing from cancer. So beautiful stuff. Okay, so let me get into miracles next. These are not magic tricks, but they're signs from the Holy Spirit that Jesus is real. Somebody once said, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, I see a lot less coincidences. I think that's really great. Discernment, sometimes called discernment of spirits. If you have that gift, you can walk around and you can see somebody spiritually. You can know if their spirit is right or wrong. You can know if a situation is right or wrong. You can know if a teaching is right or wrong. So it's an interesting gift that, you know, takes time to steward and understand. So this person can sense darkness, but they can also sense light. Isn't that wild? Speaking in tongues. Now, this one has been pretty controversial since 1 Corinthians 12. Because it got a little out of hand in the Corinthian church, and Paul called it out. Now, interesting, mercy and service, those don't, you know, not very controversial, right? But there's something about tongues that everybody said, ooh, I want that. Because it's obvious, it's demonstrative, it's out loud, it's quick, it's like right there. And so in the 1 Corinthian church, Paul said, cool your jets. Tongues is important. Prophecy is more important. There are some gifts that edify everybody in the church. I want you to focus on that. And Paul said, and I've spoken in tongues more than all of you. But don't focus on that. Focus on this. Now, here's what tongues can mean. I feel like there are three meanings. I believe there are three meanings. One is, you can speak a language you never learned. I had that happen to me in Mexico. I spoke Spanish with somebody for a while, and I'm like, what the heck just happened? Peter in Acts 2 speaks to the crowd, and everybody understood it in all of their different languages. Like, what? Right? That's cool. The third one is that there is a heavenly language that people speak in prayer. I've heard it. I've seen it. I've prayed for it. I do not have the gift of tongues, but many of you do. And interesting, I was talking with somebody this week who said that they prayed for it a bunch of times and it never happened, and then they understood better one time God's love and how they really were loved by him, and he was crazy about them. And then tongues came to them as a gift through understanding his love. Interesting. So tongues is controversial because everybody says, well, if it's spoken out and loud, it needs to be interpreted because that's what the Bible says, right? And I agree with that. If somebody comes up here and blabs at you on the mic in a tongue and it makes no sense, that doesn't make sense to you or an unbeliever who's in our midst who's going like, you guys are weird, right? So there needs to be an interpretation, which is the next gift. But if somebody stands behind me in a worship service and they put their hand on me and they pray in tongues over me, awesome. That does not need interpretation because that is not something that's upsetting the body or stopping you in your tracks and saying, hey, look, right? That kind of thing can be acceptable in a body like ours. Okay? Same thing in mosaic groups. Okay. Let's move on. And I'm just about done. Helps. So if you have that gift, you are mercy in action. You come alongside someone for a season of time to help them through a difficult time. Cheryl McMichael, I think, is a great example of that. Administration. That's not about paper pushing and it's not about money. Administration is putting the gifts in their places. So administration is linked to leadership, linked to pastor. And I think it's a powerful gift in the body when it's looking at the different gifts and helping everybody use them. And Anna Maria is an example. Lori Kappen's example. It's powerful. Apostleship. There are modern-day apostles. There weren't just 11 and then add Paul making 12. There are modern-day apostles who plant new churches, plant new mission movements, and God uses in unique ways all around the planet. My friend John Dawson is a good example of somebody that's used as an apostle, and that would be, like, you know, pretty obvious in his life. And there are others as well. Rex Holt, I think you would call an apostleship gift. That dude is always starting something. He can't stop. Evangelism. Obviously, all believers are encouraged and invited to share with others our faith. But there's some people that God uses in unique ways. How many of you have been impacted by the ministry of Billy Graham in some way? I met the Lord watching a Billy Graham crusade on TV when my dad was at a board meeting. And so I grew up in the church, but Billy Graham was really my my door into the kingdom. Pretty amazing. So one more, I've finished all the gifts that we're going to go over right now. But one thing I want to mention, in Ephesians, we have five gifts that are called the five-fold ministry gifts. So they're called APEST, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. These are spiritual gifts, but they're more. They're also an office that somebody holds. And it could be for their whole life. It could be for a season. You also have the offices of elder and deacon in the church that relate to all these. And so I believe that there are a whole bunch of people that are gifted in these office gifts in our church that need to step up. A body of this size does not have one pastor. It has a bunch of pastors. A body of this size does not have one evangelist. It has a bunch of them. That's how it works. So pray about those things and learn more. And there are APEST tests you can take as well. Okay, so here's how we're going to conclude. And I want to ask the band to pop up here. And we're going to do one last song, Lucas, so you can figure out which one that is. So if you're a follower of Jesus, based on God's word, you have been given gifts. Some of you won. More often, it's a number of gifts, and it's a blend. And your gift mix is as unique as your fingerprint. There is no one else who has the same gifts that you have. In the same order, you are you. So the Lord has made each of us different on purpose. So that means that he wants to invite us into figuring out how does that work. So I want to lead us in a prayer of committing our gifts, because I think it would be dumb to learn about all this stuff and then walk out that door and go to brunch. The Lord wants us to say, yes, Lord, I love you and I believe you've given me gifts. He also wants us to say, yes, Lord, I trust you, that you have in mind what's best for me and best for your body. And Lord, I ask that you would empower me through your spirit, empower these gifts so they're not just ideas, so that you can use my life to benefit these people around me and to make your church strong. Okay? So I want to ask everybody in the place to stand up. And if you are willing to and ready to pray that prayer, and the prayer is basically, yes, Lord, I believe that I have gifts. Yes, Lord, I trust you. Would you develop them? And yes, Lord, use me in some powerful ways this year. And you get to define, Lord, what that even means. If you want to pray that, I want to have everybody close your eyes. If you want to pray that, just hold your hands out as I lead you in a prayer. Lord, we ask that you would show us the gifts that you have individually trusted us with. And Lord, we say right now that we trust you. We love you. We know that these gifts are a sign of your love for us and for each other. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to develop them, that you would keep these gifts in the front of our thinking, in the front of our spirit, in the front of our mind. And Lord, that we would take this very seriously. Lord, we ask in advance that you would make us strong in our gifting. And Lord, that through that, your body would be strong, that your body would be powerful in this community. That Lord, we would not be a wimpy church over on the corner, but we would be a strong body that represents you, Jesus. And that your Holy Spirit would flow in us and through us. And Lord, that others would see how real you are as the supernatural stuff happens in our lives that we can't even explain. And that could be us showing mercy to somebody. It could be us knowing something about somebody or leading somebody to you. But Lord, I ask that you would make this powerful in our lives and you would make it practical in our lives for your sake. Amen.